me now. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so at the start, see, and that's just like this, you know, you sit there and you think you're doing good. I've made this resolution, I'm going to use the mic and talk and however, you know, our PowerPoint. But we go off for Christmas holiday and all these teachers are sitting around and they talk about what they're going to do. You know, I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better teacher. I'm going to be a better whatever. And we have these resolutions or revolution. We have these revolutions. And what happens? Yeah. What happens? Ooh, habits. And then these habits kick in. You know, like somebody says, I'm going to eat better. But then the habit kicks in. You know, you're driving by McDonald's and you go, it won't hurt this one time. Or you drive by Chick-fil-A and go, it won't hurt this one time. Or this twice, or this fifth, or this 32nd. You know, and you go, I'm going to work out. And then about the third time you work out, you go, I'm so sore, I'm not working out tomorrow. And you have all of these resolutions. You know, like when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, and you go, well, from now on, I'm just going to wave at them. And pretty soon that wave just kind of loses fingers. So, you know, you have all these, and that's why I'm saying I'm about a week early, because this will kick in about a week. All these resolutions you've got, they kind of die off by next week. They fade because we have hurts. We have habits. We have these hang-ups that keep us down. We have this thing called the human condition. And one of the things that struck me is it really the human condition that stops us? Is it really habits that stop us? Romans 7:15, if you want to go there real quick. I don't know. Well, you know what? Romans 7:15. And just to throw you, I want to end with Philippians 4:17, I think. I'd have to look real quick. Here, you can use mine if you'd like. I left my Bible in the chair. Oops. Huh? Yeah, I'm going to have to get somebody to read this because I can't. No, cool. Do you got amplified, Kurt? Okay. You got the amplified? Because... Huh? Just 15, 7:15. We're sitting here looking at what 17 or 15 says. And we're looking at the human condition. That which I do not want to do, that which I don't understand why I do it, I do. That which I loathe, that which I hate, I end up doing. That which, for no reason whatsoever, I do it. And we don't understand why we do that. And that which we want to do, we don't do. You know, the last 4 weeks, last 3 weeks, we've been talking about different concepts on Christianity. Richard, Rafi, and Buck all have talked about different things we should do as Christians. Why don't we do those things? Why is it we don't do? You know, we've got people that are in hospitals. Why don't we visit the people in hospital? We got people in jail. Why don't we visit people in jail? We got all of these different things that we would like to do that we don't do. We got all of these things that we think, hey, this would be a nice thing to do. No, this is a requirement we do as a Christian, but we still don't do it. And then we turn around and there's all of these things, and I'm not just talking about, oh, it's nice to lose weight. I'm talking about the other things that we don't do or the other things we do. We have, how's that go, secret sins in our life, sins that we don't want other people to know about. Why do we have that? And sometimes when you look at that, you can say, that's not really, you know, it's not that bad. You know, look at my life. I'm doing good compared to Bill. You know what I'm saying? I still got hair. You know, look at me. I'm better than, you know, and we can do that. We can. We can look at other people and say, you know, I can look at my family and go, well, I'm a better person than my brother. Both of them. I can justify my actions. I can justify all kinds of things if I wanted to. Why don't I pray more for my brothers instead of justify? You know, I ask y'all that question a lot of times. When you get to heaven, who's going to be missing that's not going to make it to heaven? You know, if I get to heaven and my brothers aren't there, that's truly still going to be heaven. Because no matter what they do to me, and no matter what they've done to me, and no matter what hurts they've given me, do I not still love them? They're still my brothers. And all my nieces and nephews, don't I love them? And aren't I concerned about them? I got one that's fixing to go to Afghanistan, Kuwait. I mean, I knew he's going to the sandbox. He's in El Paso right now training to go to desert warfare. Huh? Got to do something. Well, really, the funny thing is, my brother, his father, was in construction most of his life. And he knows how to drive all kinds of stuff. So my nephew, growing up, has driven all kinds of stuff. Bulldozers, bobcats. He knows how to do equipment. So he joined the Army to learn how to work on Apache helicopters. He's going to be in the engineers driving tractors and bulldozers and stuff, because they looked at him and go, you know, your aptitude is to drive bulldozers and tractors and all of that, so now you're an engineer. Imagine that. Well, no, he's not going to be in a helicopter. No, he's going to be in the engineers. They looked at him and said, you know how to do all of this stuff. We don't have to train you. Guess what? Yeah, that's what happened to him. You know, we have these things we would like to do, and then life catches us. And the next thing you know, you're not doing that. You're doing something else. And what I would do, I do not do. And what I don't want to do, I do. And we sit there and we look at that, and we say, why would Paul say that? I mean, this is Paul, and he said that. But, you know, one of the things that comes up is when we have sin in our life, we never really think about the whole thing about the sin. You know, the sin hurts us. But one of the things is the sin scars us. It leaves a track. And at some point in time, we look at ourselves, and I'm one of those. And it's real hard for me not to look at my past and still be driven by it. You know, at one point in time, I was telling everybody I'm an alcoholic, even though I haven't drank in 30-something years. I still consider myself an alcoholic. I still look at myself through the eyes that I'm an alcoholic. I know that it wouldn't take much for me to fall real quick. And I'm not saying that I hold myself away or anything special, because it wasn't me that stopped it. You know, it wasn't me that put the bottle down. But I still look at that. And the problem with that is I'm no longer an alcoholic. You know, in any sin that you had in your life, that you look back on the past and that sin has scarred you and that sin has dragged you down, you still consider that to be a controlling factor. And it's not. And that's one of the things that gets us. We sit there and we look at that past and we allow that past to make a judgment over our life. You know, even though we did struggle with this in the past, even though this did control us in the past, that was the past. And I want y'all to understand something. Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he took that sin away. Now, the biggest thing about that is he also came back to, you know, we're talking about Easter's coming up. We celebrate his coming out, his defeat of death. But do you understand what else that gave us? That gave us that new life, that new beginning. And we have this new life. Sin no longer has that control over us. We have that new life. But, you know what but means, don't y'all? No. But means everything I just said doesn't matter. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they go, but, they just, everything I just said doesn't mean a thing. So when you go, we have a new life, but that sin that we had still ties to us, still pulls on us, still makes us see ourselves in that way. I know. What do we do? How do we handle that? Because guess what? That's the human condition. That's why at New Year's when we say, well, I'm going to lose weight, and you go out and you start eating right, and the next thing you know, you stopped in at McDonald's or you've done something else simply because you're allowing the way you saw yourself to keep going. And it's not just the world. I mean, the world does this to us. The world, do what? We let it. You know, you look at the world and, okay, here's a joke. What was wrong with the Titanic? It's the same thing wrong with humans. I myself had the same problem the Titanic had. No. It let what was out on the outside inside. Did y'all not understand? That's why the Titanic sank. And that's why it hits us. We let what's on the outside inside. As long as we keep what's on the outside, we're cool. But as soon as we let the outside inside, we're going down. Now, the other problem with the Titanic is it's one more thing. It's a human condition. It was compartmentalized. Did you know that? And the compartments were supposed to be, if this compartment got flooded, everything was still okay. And if this compartment got flooded, everything was still okay. But all the compartments, I don't know if y'all knew that, they were only so tall. So when one got flooded, it went down and that tall went below the water level, so then it started rolling over. And what was in one went to the next one and next one. And like humans, we think we can compartmentalize too. This is my work. This is my home. Oh, this over here, this is my church. I go there every Sunday and I take care of my Sunday stuff. And we have these little compartments. We don't realize that the compartments aren't topped off. And what happens over here can spill over into here and spill over into here. So you got the Titanic problem. We're human. Sounds pretty bad. So far, I'm not doing a good sermon, am I? I'm telling you, life is not good. You can't change. All of this stuff, there's nothing good, is there? The fact that, you know, we don't change, that what we do, we don't want to do. The next passage in the Bible I'd like to bring up is Philippians 4:17. You're making me do it off memory. My PowerPoint's gone and I didn't print out notes. Huh? 4:13. Oh, are you looking at the notes? Okay, thank you. 4:13. Who's got it? You got it? Okay. Amplified works good.
I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
What is Richard? Okay. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, empowered, infused. One of the things that struck me is when I was looking at these two verses, one is the human condition, what we have every day. The second one is that hope we have. Once we become a Christian, once we allow Christ to infuse us, what hope do we have? That all things are possible through Christ. Now, I will say this, in college when I was taking classes, one of the classes we took was contradictions in the Bible. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that there's contradictions in the Bible. And the class really wasn't what the contradictions were. It was, in a human viewpoint, there are contradictions in the Bible. They're not necessarily contradictions. And I'll ask you this. That which I do not want to do. That which I do not want to do, I do. And all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me, indwells within me, infuses me, empowers me. Do those not seem like they're contradictions? Because one says you're not going to do what you want to do, and one says anything you want to do is possible. One of them is the human condition. One of them is the spiritual condition you get with Christ. We sit here and we go through life and we have this human condition. And this human condition is we're stuck where we're at. The things that happen to us affect us. The things that happen to us scar us. The things that happen to us force us into a mold. We're not allowed to change. The spiritual condition is that don't matter. None of it matters. The only thing that matters is Christ who came for us. The fact that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall have everlasting life. I was in an argument, or not an argument, discussion, commentary with a fellow teacher Friday, because we didn't have students, and I was in his classroom, or it might have been after school, Wednesday or Thursday. We didn't have students. I went up and was talking to him. We was talking about a student, and we got into a discussion, and we were discussing Calvinism. We were discussing the condition of man. We were discussing all of the different things that happened to us. And one of the things that we looked at, or we were talking about, was, are we forced to do what we do. You know, we are predestined to be who we are. What does that mean? There's a purpose, and we are predestined one way or the other. And one of the things I brought up to him was, I have issues. I am a 4 7/5 Calvinist. You know what a 5-point Calvinist is? That's, you're John Calvin all the way as far as John Calvin could go. You believe in all 5 points of John Calvin. I am 4.75. 4.75. 7/5 of the 5th point. How's that? I don't teach math. 4.75. I'm predominantly Calvinist. 4.75. The 1 point I have an issue with on predestination is, it goes this way. If you're predestined to be a son of God, which is what Calvin said, then you're also predestined for some people to go to hell. Because if you're not predestined for heaven, you're predestined for hell, right? I have a problem with that. I mean, I just have a problem with that. Now, I have some Arminian in me. Not much, but a little. Of course, the way I look at it goes this way. If people are predestined for heaven, God knows that. We don't. We have the free will. God knows what's going on. We don't. God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. So that's how come I can balance free will versus, I'm not omniscient. I'm trying to get there, but I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. You know, if you call me up in the middle of the night and say I'm on a highway and I'm looking at a sign, where am I? I can mostly tell you where you're at, but not always. I'm still working on it. Give me a soil sample. I'm still working on it. But one of the things that doesn't come into play on Arminius or Calvin is this. And me and this teacher was arguing or talking about this. Are you a three-party person or a two-party person? Three-parted or two-parted? I confused you. Huh? We're three-parted. One of the things that theologians get into an argument is, how many parts does make up a human? Is it spirit and body? Or soul and body? Two parts. Are you made up by a soul and a body? Or is there a three part? Mind, body, and spirit. And one of the arguments I have is we're three-parted because we're made in the image of God, and God is three-parted. So we're three-parted. Now, understand that we're made in the image of God. That also means one other thing that a lot of people don't catch. Are you ready for this? We're immortal. We'll never die. Or when the body dies, the intellect and the spirit will live on until given a new body. Wait a minute. Does that mean everybody is immortal? And the answer to that is yes. So here's the thing about it. If we're all immortal, what does that mean? Uh-oh. Ruh-roh. No. It means this. There's two places we're going to end up. One or two. I'm not Catholic, so there's only two. If I was Catholic, there'd be a third. But there's only two places. Heaven and hell. That's it. When you die physically, you're going to go to one of these two places, heaven or hell. And you're going to get a new body when you're there. Are you going to get a perfect body in heaven or an imperfect body in hell? And one of the things about it is, remember this, heaven is God and all the attributes of God. Hell is the absence of God, and the absence of all the attributes of God. You know, ain't good is a light way of saying that. You know, one of the things that struck me is when you start looking at the absence of something, what does that mean? You will not have it. But if you don't have hope, does that mean you have despair? Yeah. The one that I struggle with is love. The one I struggle with is love. The essence of love. Ooh, that's a cool one. Because, you know, mostly you jump on it and you go, hate. Ooh. See, I'm starting to... You understand? There's indifference. There's fear. There's all of these other things that could be the absence of love. Or you don't. Yeah. Have y'all ever thought about these things and what it means to go to hell? No. You know, my grandfather was a Baptist preacher, and his deal was, that's not a place you want to go. And they say that he was hellfire and damnation. In other words, there is hellfire, there is damnation, and this is a place you don't want to go. So this is what you got to do not to go there. I myself say there's enough fear and indifference and loathing and despair in the world today that we see it enough to where we realize, man, we need the opposite of that. We need heaven. And our actions today lead us into that. And one of the things about it is, back in the 1900s, early 1899, 1900, 1901, that time frame, the world was such that everybody looked around and said, do you know, it's so nice going on today that eventually we're going to have heaven on earth. Because everybody loves everybody, and everybody's taking care of everybody, and this is just such a peachy keen world. What happened? Yeah, 1914, you had World War I. We were so civilized. And the world looked at that World War I and said, that's a hiccup. It's not going to happen again. The Great War that ends all war. And when this is done, we'll see the horror of war for what it truly is, and we'll never do it again. Yeah, right. World War II. Once again, we get into the human condition, right? We can't change what we are. Yeah. Oh, started back when Cain looked at Abel and said, you know what? No, Cain and Abel. Well, no, that was Adam with Eve. And he was right. But he didn't say that darn woman. He said, God, it's your fault. He goes, you know, you gave me that woman, and she's the one that messed up, so it's really your fault, because if you hadn't done that, none of this would have happened. That's Adam. Cain looked at Abel and said, you know what? You just made me mad, and I'm going to whap you in the head with a stick or a rock or a stick then a rock. Pride and jealousy. And we're still going. We're still going. And how could Paul, who wrote about the human condition, turn around and say all things are possible through Christ who indwells? Because that's what transforms us. And with that condition of the heart, one of the things that gets me is, even though we make resolutions and say, I'm going to work out, if you do work out and you don't quit, what happens? It becomes the habit. Now, one of the sad things about that is that habit may take over your life. And I've worked with people that work out to the point that that's all they do. And that becomes more important than anything else. And really, it goes back to the question, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Do you exercise to live or do you live to exercise? Is something else taken over? Has something else filled in that God hole in you? And it could be anything, even the 49ers. But, yeah. Fill in the blank. What takes over? When we get this thing, when we look at it and we say anything is possible through Christ who indwells, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do we do? Do we change the habits we have? And how do you know when you've done that? You get in the Bible. You get in the fellowship. You start doing the things. If you love me, you'll follow my commandments. If you love me, you'll get in the Bible and find out what it is I want. If you love me, you'll go to a church and get in fellowship with fellow believers. If you love me, you'll go to a church in which they preach the Word of God. I was listening to a thing with my dad, because my dad, he's my dad, and he was sick this week, so I spent some time with him. And one of the things he did was he flips channels. And he was flipping the channels, and he ran across a group of people out of Louisiana that televangelist. I'm not saying names and I'm not saying who they are, but they're televangelists, and it's a family out of Louisiana. Yeah, that should have narrowed it down for a bunch of people. And anyway, they came on and they were talking, and one of the things they were talking about was they do a Sunday worship service, and they were answering questions. And one of the questions they came up with, if I don't go to church but watch your Sunday, am I worshiping? And what answer do you think they gave them? Sure, yeah, you're worshiping. Don't let somebody tell you you're sinning because you're not going to church. That's why we do this. So you can sit here and watch us and send us your money as opposed to going to a church. Do you understand the problem with that? The fellowship. How do you fellowship when you're just watching somebody on TV? How do you know who to pray for? How do you heal each other? And I want you to know one of the things that strikes me that I don't know if you understand. We have people with infirmities. Why does God allow people to get sick? You know, I can't tell you. There's a lot of things I could give you, but I can't tell you why God allows people to get sick. I can't tell you why God allows bad things to happen to good people. I can't tell you. I don't know. But I do know God says, if bad things happen to good people, you have an answer. You know what that answer is? Well, no. The body of Christ. But you know what we do? We pray, guys. How do we show our love for each other? We pray for one another. How many of you that are in here have been prayed for? Come on. Now here's the worst one. How many of you that in here have been prayed for have received a miracle? Okay, if you don't go to church and get prayed for to receive that miracle, how do you know about the miracle? And how do you express that miracle to others? We have certain things we do. All things are possible through Christ who indwells. I've got a stone in my throat that went away. Stones don't go away. It's a stone. Stones don't go away. Doctor goes, stones don't go away. Biggest stone he'd ever seen. Going to have to operate to get it out because it wouldn't go out. Went back and it's gone. He's like, okay. Okay. What'd you do? Prayed. Okay. Do what? What'd you do? Prayed. Have my church pray for me. Okay. Guys, I can even talk about other people in here that's had prayers that are miracles. All things are possible through Christ. All things are possible through Christ. I want you to also understand something else. One of the strongest Christians I ever met was a lady named Becky. Some of you know her, some of you don't. Man, she was strong. Man, she was a prayer warrior. She was a Bible scholar. One of my first sermons I gave. I hadn't been a pastor long, and she came in here to check me out. She came in, sat down, and I lost the entire sermon because the first thing she did was she opened up a backpack and took out a legal yellow pad to take notes on so she could tell me what I was doing wrong. And I figured it had to be a legal yellow pad because she was going to tell me what I did wrong. And I do have some of her notes at the house on different books of the Bible. And she did it on legal yellow pads. That was Becky. I also have a good friend I never knew I'd have, a brother in Christ. I love him immensely. He is a strong Christian. He's in the Word of God. He is someone that God will use and give words to change hearts. And I've seen it happen. You know what Becky and this other gentleman have in common? Well, I'll give you a different one. They were both atheists. They were both God haters. They were both people that were living their life the way they wanted to live and had nothing for God and didn't want to have anything to do with God. One of them is Rafi. And he was changed by the love of Christ. And a gentleman that kept coming back. The other one, Becky, was changed by her sister's Sunday school class. How did that happen? Every Sunday they prayed for Becky. Every Sunday they prayed for Becky. And they prayed for Becky in this condition. It's not going to be heaven without her. And they prayed for her and prayed for her until she accepted Christ. And I imagine Armando prayed for you constantly. Now, one of the things I will say about prayer is this. In Daniel is sitting by the river and he prayed. Have you heard that one? That Daniel was by the river and he prayed. And an angel shows up to him. And Daniel goes, well, I prayed 3 days ago. And the angel goes, your prayer was answered 3 days ago, but it took me 3 days to get down here to tell you. Oh, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. It took me 3 weeks to get down. Yeah. But it took me 3 weeks to get down here to you, right? You don't know how long it's going to take. The only thing I can tell you this, your prayer's answered immediately. He listens right away. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take for it to get down to you, but he answers immediately. I had to fight through. Go do it. I got sick. Yeah. His prayer's already answered. That's why we can say with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who indwells. Now the band's going to come up. I caught you there, didn't I? I know what Willie's angels look like. Naked. They go to battle. They get beat up. Like I said, I don't know if Willie's angels got any feathers left. He's been taking all those hits. Yeah, he doesn't have any. He goes, this is what I got to do if I'm around Willie. I got to put it on. Now, here's the thing. As they pray, the altar is open. I'm going to leave this on for just 1 second because I got one thing to say. Come on up. We'll pray for you. But, you know, you don't have to have a pastor pray for you. The person beside you can pray for you. That's the beautiful thing about a church of believers. We can all pray for each other. That's what we got. Hey, do y'all want to come up real quick while I still got this on?